To join that. Well, today I want to introduce to you some dear friends of mine that I've known for many, many years, and they're from Acts 8, which is a mission organization that actually started here at Adventure, and primarily they're working with Ethiopia. And I got the opportunity to go to Ethiopia and even lead teams from this church to go and kind of see that begin to take place. So I have great pleasure in introducing to you Jonathan Kobayashi and his wife Kim Kobayashi as they share a little bit. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you. All right, good morning. Glad to be here. Acts 8 Ministries is primarily a training organization working in Ethiopia. And this is Ethiopia. It's a country in eastern Africa. It's the second largest nation in terms of population. It's unique in the sense that it's different from neighboring African countries ethnically. And Ethiopians are actually a little closer to Middle Easterners in terms of language and some of the culture. And also, the country is the hub it's a diplomatic hub. There are more embassies in the capital of Addis than any other cities except Geneva and New York. So it is a very central place in the continent, and this is where we work. The first mission trip that we took as Acts 8 Ministries, as BJ mentioned, was with Adventure. In fact, Acts 8 Ministries was born out of this congregation and several years ago. And so we share a lot of same core values and DNA. And here are some of the old pictures. The first trip that we took, Nick was there, along with our daughter Christina and her friend Kelsey. And Kelsey's husband, Garrett, was part of the team. And, of course, this team was led by our fearless leader. Yeah, BJ, he looks so young. One of the things that we do as training is that our focus on how to be, along with a how to do ministries. How to be. What do I mean by that? How to be. It's about our identity in Christ, our new nature. The Bible talks about new self. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our leader and we say, hey, God, I trust you, you're my leader, I follow you. And when we believe that Jesus is the one who can erase all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our sins, at that point, God himself gives us new life. But this new life comes in almost a seed form. And that needs to be grown. That needs to be nurtured. That needs to be drawn out. That process happens or that takes place best in the context of our walk with God or our relationship with God. That means that we need to be attentive to what he is saying. We need to be following his lead. And that's why that's one of our core values at Acts 8 Ministries. And I know that's one of the core values or one of the five streams at Adventure Church, walking with God. And that has been our journey from the very beginning. Philip, in the book of Acts chapter 8, is an example of this walking with God and following his lead. And so I want to park here and talk about this story. Some of you may be familiar with that. In the beginning of chapter 8, it says that the churches were growing in Jerusalem. This is the very beginning of the life of the church in the first century. And it was growing in Jerusalem, but because of the explosive growth, there started a persecution. A persecution broke out in Jerusalem. As a result, many disciples fled Jerusalem. One of them, Philip, went up north to Samaria. And now imagine you have been persecuted, and so when you hide, you want to stay low, but not with Philip. Philip went to Ethiopia and started talking about Jesus. Imagine, he was persecuted because he was talking about Jesus. So he moves up north, and then guess what? He started talking about Jesus. And with that kind of courage or boldness, he gets noticed by God. And so here it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Arise and go toward the south to the road and that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' And this is a desert place." So right here, up in north, Phil was faithful. And even though he was persecuted because he was talking about Jesus, he goes to this new place called Samaria and starts talking about Jesus. And because of that, God taps his shoulder and says, "Come here, Phil. I have an assignment for you." And God sends Phil to the south. Now, whenever the Bible mentions, it's important. Here it says this is a desert place. So we need to take note of that. What's a desert place? When I go to Ethiopia, I usually go to Europe, and then from Europe down to Ethiopia. And as a result, we fly over a Sahara Desert. One of the things about Sahara Desert is it's a desert. It's deserted. There's nobody. See, Phil had a great ministry, great time up in north in Samaria, talking to people about Jesus. And people are coming to believe in Jesus. In fact, the Bible said that there was much joy in that city. And in the midst of that success, God calls him to a desert place where there's nobody. Have you experienced that in your life? Maybe in the church, outside the church, at work, at home, where everything seems to be going well, and all of a sudden, nothing is working. Is God against you? Is that his punishment? No, actually, it's his promotion. What do I mean by that? Read on. It says that there, and then 27, "And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians." To make a long story short, Philip meets this Ethiopian court official, and Philip shares about Jesus, and the Ethiopian believes in Jesus and says, "I believe, and look, there is water. I want to be baptized, like you will be baptizing your people next week." And Ethiopian gets baptized, and he goes home as a happy, changed man. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this man, the Ethiopian, is probably one of the highest ranking official of any of a nation recorded in all of the book of Acts, if not all of the New Testament. It says eunuch. Do you know what that means? No, it's not what you think it means. It means he had access to the queen. He could be close to the queen, and he was the queen's a trusted confidant, trusted officer. So he had access to the most powerful person of a nation. And because Philip was faithful, listening to God, and said, "God, I'm having a great time right here in Samaria, but because you say so, I'm going to go to a desert to meet just one person." But that obedience and the faithfulness may have impacted an entire nation. Just kind of following the lead of God is how Acts 8 got started.
Tiny notes, tiny talk. We don't know for sure, but tradition has it that after the Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia, within 300 years, it was a Christian nation. So Philip had quite an assignment that day. Faithfulness may not be as dramatic as God saying, "Go do this." It may be just doing the thing. Remember that. Well, my story is not nearly as dramatic as that, but I am still awed and grateful to have been chosen to be part of the genesis of Acts 8. I was teaching the elementary kids Sunday school during the 9 o'clock service. This is 7 years ago. And I realized through talking with them that they knew a lot about the Old Testament, they knew everything about Jesus, but they didn't even know who Paul was. I thought, well, this is a problem, considering most of the New Testament is written by this man and was the founding of the church, etc. So I could have just said, well, that's too bad, and moved on, but said, no, we need an Acts curriculum. So I looked, I searched, there was no Acts curriculum. I could have just said, oh, well, that's too bad, and done something else, but I didn't. I said, okay, I'm going to write one. And so I'm writing the curriculum, and I get to the chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch, and of course, like, well, how am I going to teach that to elementary kids? So it's like, well, look for a color page. When all else fails, look for a color page. And I'm searching, Google search, and there's nothing, 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 like a half hour looking, and eventually two pictures came up. One had the Ethiopian man as a white guy with a beard down to here, and I'm like, that's not going to do. The other picture I found was perfect. I mean, it was a little one, and so being the Facebook stalker that I am, I found who posted it, and it was an Ethiopian Christian man. So I friended him. I used the picture the next morning with Sunday school, and I even showed his picture to draw a connection for my kids. Okay, 3 months later, I get a personal message from this man named Meherit. He says, hello, remember me. And basically, he's saying to me, can you help? Because Ethiopia is in dire need of children's resources. I could have sent him a few links. Well, look up this, but I didn't. In that moment, I thought, there's something afoot. There's a reason he has contacted me. And so we started this conversation back and forth, and within a few days, we had introduced Jonathan, who was on the lead team here, to their director of ministries. This is Campus Crusade in Ethiopia. This conversation goes, and within a couple of weeks, we're thinking we're going to go to Ethiopia for a vision trip. So he brings it to the lead team here, and they say, you know, we think that this isn't the right time to go. We don't think you should go now. So Jonathan comes home and tells me that, and I'm really ticked. I'm like, what are you? Anyway, but I chose. I could have just been angry. We could have gone, but we didn't. We chose to be obedient and to be faithful to God speaking through our leadership. About a week later, we find out that Damtu and his wife are actually going to come to America. And we flew him from, like, Ohio or something to us here. And he got to come and experience a service, the youth group, and be in our midst. And he said, you have what we need. And there's nothing could have replaced that you know, face-to-face interaction. And it was during that week, interacting with him, that this dream of Acts 8 was born. And to give you all a stake to pound in the ground of time, it was 7 years ago this week. And 7 years ago this week is when Nick got in his head-on crash and got all busted up. If you remember that, you probably remember where you were and what you were doing when you got that news, because it was pretty earth-shattering for many of us. But it was during that week that this dream was born. One of the things we did during the time Damtu was here is I gathered Sunday school teachers together, and as I was contacting them, I remembered that Cindy Griffin had said, there's a new gal here named Teresa who really loves the kids, is really great with kids. I didn't know her. I don't even know if we had ever had a conversation, but God laid it on my heart to invite her. I could have ignored that, but I didn't. I invited her. And that was another key stepping stone in this journey.
So right after that, so Damtu, who came to Adventure about 7 years ago, was the national director of Campus Crusade in Ethiopia. And his life was changed because of you. his life was touched because of what this church represents. After that, I had a chance, along with Kim, to actually visit Ethiopia. And when we did, we recognized two absolutely critical needs. One was children did not have any kind of a curriculum or resources. And then number two, teachers, as much as they were enthusiastic and devoted they were, they needed training. And so to make a long story short, 4 years later, we were able to secure a curriculum in cooperation with a group called David C. Cook, which is a very well-established publishing ministry in out of Colorado Springs. And Teresa, as Kim mentioned, has been driving much of that Give Me Hope children's ministry program. And so today, she runs most of the Ethiopian operation as a director of the Ethiopian ministry. And her husband, Bruce, has an education background, and so he serves as the director of training development. And I'm going to have them share their stories.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here again after all this time. I think in the first service I said, wow, it's like deja vu, and that's because it is. So we're thrilled to be able to come here and get you updated on Acts 8 Ethiopia. So Bruce and I, oh, thank you. I think we work well together as a ministry team, and we actually kind of work together like sports announcers. So I'm the play-by-play analyst, and he's the color. It works in our lives, and it works in our ministry, too. So, he'll wrap us up here in a minute. But I feel like although Acts 8 Ethiopia actually has four training programs, today we're here to focus with you on Give Me Hope, because it's our three-year children's discipleship curriculum that we're taking to Ethiopia, training people how to use the curriculum, and then having those trainers go and teach their teachers how to implement it in their churches. Right now, we're working primarily with a group called Evangelical Churches Fellowship in a town south of Addis called Debrezit or Bishoftu. And I think a good place for me to start today would be to when Bruce and I went to Ethiopia last May. God laid it on our hearts to officially make an in-country team. Now, you can say then that this in-country team was brand new, having been formed last May, but God has actually started forming this team since the very first, from the very beginning, from the very first time that we found David C. Cook and we needed a translator. And so we found, through another organization, a lady by the name of Inagu Desi. And she agreed to be our translator. Now, Inagu has a story all on her own. She was born in 1948 of a peasant family, but because of her brightness and wit, people soon recognized that she was special. She became a high school teacher, and then she became a high school principal, and then she was asked to be the president of a Bible college. This woman is like 10 times the size of almost anybody else I've ever met. She's so powerful. Trainer, translator, educator, evangelist. She's got an international presence as a keynote speaker for all kinds of Christian conferences around Africa and in Europe. I think she's even done a couple of them here in the here in Seattle in the 80s. So that's who we have, and it took her about 2 years to translate the first year of our three-year curriculum. But we got that done, and I'll introduce the rest of the team, and then I'll tell you about what happened when we really got on the ground in Ethiopia. Juan Wilson Lema is another member of our team. He's a pastor, a trainer, a teacher, and God has given him a tremendous gift to coordinate trips, meetings, set up all kinds of events and venues. And he's been very instrumental in spreading the word about Acts 8 Ethiopia and finding more opportunity for us to bring all of our training programs, including the Give Me Hope Children's Discipleship Program. And then we have Arison Kifle. Arison came to us just out of curiosity to our first training, and she just stayed around. She just stayed for the whole thing and became one of our translators. She's also a good trainer, a teacher, and a very good administrator. So she has a skill set that really is an asset for our in-country team. And then our newest member is Bereket, or Becky, Sfaye. He's a teacher, administrator, a translator, and a trainer. So all four of our in-country team members are certified to train the Give Me Hope program. I can see you can tell that might be going somewhere in a minute. So anyway, his special contribution is that he's fluent both in English and Oromo, which is the second biggest language spoken in Ethiopia outside of Amharic, which is the official language. So that's our team, and they work together very well. They've really facilitated the spread and growth of Acts 8 training in Ethiopia. So I wanted to give you just a flavor of what we actually do during a training. They can be 2 or 3 days long, depending on the need. And the first thing we do is talk to them about children's ministry in general. What we emphasize is that children are valued by God. Christian children are full-fledged citizens of the kingdom. And they're also disciples of Christ. They're capable of bearing God's image and modeling Christ to the people in their world. So through this curriculum, they learn that they mean something to God and they have a purpose in life. And their lives can be transformed by their belief in Jesus Christ. So that's sort of sets the tone for them on what we think our philosophy of children's ministries is. And then we talk about what's a good teacher. And a good teacher is being a disciple leader. And it's a balancing act. A teacher has to wear several roles, and this is universal. Teacher, storyteller, cheerleader, coach, manager, safe space provider, and more things that I could go on and on about. But we show them that as leaders with Christ in their hearts, they're the ones who are going to be setting the tone and teaching their children how to be disciples in the world. Then we also go over what makes a good program. A good program, well, of course, it's going to be Bible-based, isn't it? Of course, it's going to be Christ-centered, but there are some programs out there that are, and they're not very communicative. So what we like about Give Me Hope is that it's easy to teach, and it flows. It's seamless. And it conveys biblical truths that are understandable and useful to the child. And it's holistic. It doesn't just treat the spiritual part of the child. It treats all parts of a child, intellectual, emotional, physical, as well as spiritual. So it also relates. If you've got a program, for example, that needs a computer to get your point across, and your classroom doesn't even have electricity, that program is not going to relate very well to your needs. And finally, of course, it has to be creative, because as has already been said, we meet with people who at their church back home don't have any resources for children. So you have to be able to find creative ways to connect with the child. And we have witnessed in our trainings the fact that these teachers are very creative, very committed, and they're used to dealing with nothing. But they could do so much more if they had more. And that's what's driving the Adventure Children's Ministries campaign to collect school supplies for these kids, the ones that these teachers are being trained to go back and teach. So we're so excited about being able to partner with you guys and get the stuff to take back. Those churches are so excited. They are waiting. They're waiting. And they appreciate you and love you so much for this. So during the training, of course, and that's what this is, these guys have broken up into little classes, okay? And one of them is going to be the teacher and going to teach a part of the Give Me Hope lesson. And the other people in the group are going to be the kids, the students. And they have a ball with this. Because what they do is they're already experienced teachers. They're just having fun with, now they actually have something to hold on to and teach with. And they're just so grateful. And so they practice in front of their peers these lessons. And then they share with each other. We all get together in a big group and we share what we liked, what we thought could be tossed out, what somebody did that was amazing with nothing. Okay, so all that goes on in the 2 to 3 day period, and then they get their they get a certificate for completing the training, and they take the manuals with the curriculum. The first year, we do it 1 year at a time, so one, and then we do another training for two, then we do one for three. And so by that time, the church has, you know, this complete three-volume set of teaching materials for the children at their church. Little history about what we've done in Ethiopia. I'm not going to read through this. I'm going to show you that we physically got started in January of 2016. And we did a year one training. And then I went back and did an evaluation with a lady, another trainer. And we got some feedback. How well is this going? The churches that are using this material. And we got tremendous feedback, tremendously positive feedback. The classroom dynamics have changed. People are starting to bring the kids are bringing their friends. The relationships between teachers and students are much better. And the kids are speaking with hope and joy and laughing instead of being sarcastic and hopeless. And we've got some really good testimonies along that line to keep us going. This is the kind of stuff that feeds us. And then we did another training for the second year. And that was in 2017. And in September of 2017, I went back and did a networking trip with Wandy. He set up everything. And we got a really big schedule set up for this coming September. Okay, September 8, 2018 was really going to be the breaking point. And we just did three. We're just waiting on getting our revised year one curriculum done. And it's not going to be ready in time. We had to call all those and cancel all those organizational plans. And we thought, well, this has to be from God. I know now, wait a minute. Our Christian brothers and sisters over there in Ethiopia, when they found out about this, they're just praying Satan back. They're just saying, no, no, no. You know, they're not timid at all for Christ. Still, it stayed the same. And so we figure we need to be obedient to God's timing. He'll use this time. And we found out what the time was to be used for. The time is to be used to get a training center set up in Ethiopia. Yes, an Acts 8 training center where people can come to us and we can have a complete presence there and not be limited. Here's sort of the contrast of why we need a training center. Just with a flyby training, it costs $6,000 a trip, more or less. We could do so much better with our money if we had people on the ground there in Ethiopia. Even if we do have to go to other remote places, we would be already in Ethiopia. And so there's limited reach. There's unlimited reach with a training center. With a flyby training, there's no one to stay and help support. And I'm not talking about just financial support. I'm talking about mentoring, follow-up, being there, a resource for them. And then finally, it's difficult to sustain. We run around trying to, you know, fund these trips. But if we can get a sustainable budget for a training center, it would be much more, it would facilitate so much more. So that's what we're going for. And God has told us the time is right to start working on getting this training center set up. So Bruce and I are going in September, but not to do all those big trainings. We'll just have one small one, one day one. The rest of the time, we're going to be looking for a facility with our in-country team. And it's all because of Give Me Hope. So this is what Give Me Hope does. It's a gift to the children from David C. Cook and Acts 8 Ministries. And I've already told you about some of the testimonies, some of the transformational power that the curriculum brings through Christ. It gives the kids hope for tomorrow. Their lives have meaning to them now, just like in Jeremiah 29:11. and they learn that they have purpose, and they learn that God is there to help them, even to prosper them. And then Give Me Hope is help for them for today. They learn skills, practical skills, they need to navigate successfully in their home and in their neighborhoods and in their communities. That's what Acts 8 is doing. Through our philosophy, identity in Christ, we can pass this on to the Ethiopian body of Christ.
Hi, my name's Bruce Riggs. Although I know it sounds like it could be Johnny Cash, but it's not. I went to Ethiopia about 4 years ago. I got asked to go by a friend of mine, him. They needed someone to teach a class in systematic theology because the person who was doing it had to drop out. And as it happens, I knew how to do that. It's an interesting kind of course, but it's not something that sounds particularly sexy. And, you know, you never hear your daughter in an argument out in the yard with someone who says, "Oh, yeah, well, my dad can teach systematic theology." It doesn't happen that way. But as it happened, I could do that. And so I ended up there. And it was the most remarkable experience. You get off the plane, and you come through the door, and it looks like everybody else's airport that you've ever been in before. And you go down the steps, and you walk out into this open area, and all of a sudden it looks like a super Walmart without any shelves in it at all. And there's thousands of people, and they're all just milling around. And where they're not, there's these long lines of people, and it's this chaotic-looking, really strange kind of environment because you've never seen anything like this before. We're all used to standing in line very orderly. That's how it's supposed to happen. They don't get that part at all. And you think this is the craziest thing you've ever seen, until you actually end up in a car on the road. And that's otherworldly. They're the most courageous people on the planet. And the second most courageous are the people who are actually sitting in the car. And for the first time I went, I was looking down for about the first half hour because I just didn't want to see it. And then after a while, you start to think, well, okay, if this something's going to happen, I just at least want to see it coming. So you start looking around, and it gets exciting. It gets really kind of invigorating. And I was going through one of these cities one day, and this guy's got this stick in his mouth, and he's driving with his hand on the wheel, and he's just whipping in and out of places, and he looks kind of like James Dean. Some of y'all need to Google that. And I asked him what he was chewing on, and he said he was chewing on something. I said, what for? And he goes, well, it's a drug, and it helps to relax me. And you think to yourself, you know, I did he have any more? I kind of have really negative views of substance abuse and driving, but in that kind of situation, if it makes you feel okay, then, you know. And so you get down to Deborah Zeed. Means Mount of Olives. How cool is that? And you get up in front of a classroom. You haven't taught in a while, you know. Moved up here. It's been a while. And I remember thinking that I was really nervous. And I heard God talk to me. He said, and God said to Abram, I want you to get up and leave your country and your family and your father's household and go to a place I'll show you. And I thought that was kind of awkward. Didn't really mean much to me. And I thought, okay, sure, why not? You know, and so I got up and started to talk, and it was this most remarkable thing. It was something that I'd done all my life, that I used to kind of identify myself as. The next couple times you go, it starts to change for you in a curious kind of fashion. You go there and God talks to you about it. You hear this sort of Macedonian call. People are saying to you, come over here and help us. And you start to get other people in these classes that come up and say, I've got a church that would love for you guys to do this with, and we need you here. We want you to come do this. And all of a sudden you start to find that what you're doing is it's not just the work. It's not just the work. You're starting to fall in love. And you're old enough, you've been in love, so you know what it feels like. And you start to understand that you fall in love not with a place, because a lot of people fall in love with places. Everybody's got, I got a guy who every year goes to Cabo. I don't know why, but he goes. And he loves it. It may be your grandmother's house. It may be a place that you've always gone to that's brought you a certain kind of peace. So it's not a place. It's not Deborah Z. You start to realize that what's happening to you is God has given these people to you, and he's given you to them. And you're connecting with their hearts, and you're starting to find out that this is in a curious way becoming your family. And you love them, and you sit in their homes, and you play with their kids, and you walk down the street with Wandy, this big 6-foot-1 guy, and it's really weird because all of a sudden over there, all of a sudden he grabs your hand. You're walking down the street holding hands with this guy, and it crossed my mind at one point to skip, you know, just to see what it looked like, but you know, it's affection. This is what you do. This is a friend. And this is someone that you love. And I started to change in my mind. And I started to realize that there was something deeper that was calling me to these people. And it was because of what they were giving me and what God was putting in my mind. And what you start to understand is there are things there for you to do with your hands. There are things there that there's a function and a purpose. And you wanted to know why you'd been out of teaching so long and what God had been teaching you. And you didn't understand that this was the next phase that he was taking you to, and he had to get you ready by having you do other things, and that now it was time to put you back into this life. But now you can put on your spikes and do it instead of just walking in not prepared. And that's what we have. We have things to do. BJ and Seth wrote this curriculum years ago that they did with the youth group here, and Seth gave me a lunch one day. We sat and talked about it, and we're going to do this when we go next time. It's the youth group stuff. This is so totally cool. It's just tripped out. It's way neat. And we're going to do this there. We're going to introduce that. I got 3 other churches that want this right now, and we get to go do this. This is a gift that God has given us in our later years. We come back in September, and we're going to put in our application for an extended visa. And we're hoping that by February we can move there permanently. So y'all have a place to stay. There's just so much that God has given us to do there. There's so many opportunities, and so many things that have happened in such a short period of time. And we can't do this by ourselves anymore. There's 4 of us here and 6 of us there. And what we're trying to do is to find people who might be interested. Whatever your calling is, whatever you wanted to do, whether it's to teach over there or pray over here or help us with some things. We're just looking for people that would like to help us. That's why we came here today to talk to y'all, because this is where y'all got, this is where this thing got started. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you so much for sharing, guys. I love just hearing the stories and the passion, and having personally been there. Honestly, watch out, because you never know. You might be next on a plane and get the opportunity to experience the crazy roads in Ethiopia. Well, I want to offer just a challenge to you. Led by our children's ministry, we are jumping on board and partnering with Acts 8 in this Give Me Hope campaign. And in your bulletin, you'll find the sheet, and on it is just a list of supplies, basic supplies. The training is done. It's been translated. Years of work has already been completed to bring the curriculum, but there's one more challenge. The challenge is they don't have the resources. They don't even have the paper to make this all come to life. And so many of the basic things that our kids have that they get to experience even here at church or even in school, they don't have. And they're simple things. And we get the opportunity to send a giant suitcase, and that's literally how it's going down, in a giant suitcase packed by Bruce and Teresa, to bring some supplies, to help give hope to these kids and give them something tangible to hold in their hands. And so I want to make a personal challenge to you. I was just at Fred Meyer the other day. They already have all the school supplies out on sale. If you're doing back-to-school shopping or you're just doing some grocery shopping, would you just grab some pencils or some scissors or a glue stick or something, a ream of paper? Because just that small thing can make a huge difference in the lives of thousands of children. The amount of people that are involved in this, we're talking about churches. They're training the leaders of churches. So already over 200 churches have been involved in this. And imagine the reach of that simply by providing some resources. And so if you're able to do that, we're going to have a box available in the back all the month of August. And then at the end, we're inviting the children's ministry to come up and share and be a part of that. Because we want our children to know, hey, you can make a difference. You can be a part of impacting your peers even around the world.